first reading, if you'd like to follow along in the pew Bible, is on page 641. I'm going to be reading Isaiah 61 from verse 10 to chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will keep not silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication comes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This ends the first reading.
Thank you, Sue. Before we transition young people together and we talk about something that I've been thinking about and encouraging you about this Christmas season, one additional announcement going all the way back to the remember I have a prop and it reminds me to announce it. This time I was apparently too far this way when I was talking to you, so I didn't see what was over there in my line of sight on the first pew. If you're interested in the book study we're going to start in January, oh, Susie saw them. They're sitting, the book Being Together, there's all the copies that have been purchased by the church are sitting in the front pew. And I encourage you to grab one today. We'll start, I believe, memory serves, January 10th. So you've got a couple of weeks to get started if you're interested. The books are down there. And if you're at home watching on Zoom or on Facebook, same rules apply. Stop by or let us know and we will find a safe way to get you a book. All right, young people, enough of that announcement stuff. I have talked to you for the entire Advent season about preparation, and we've been getting prepared, and Jesus is here, and all of this stuff. So I'm curious, using the words of Isaiah, how did you, for Christmas, greatly rejoice in the Lord? My soul shall exalt in my God. He is born for you. As I make a big dramatic thing of dropping the book. He is born for you. What did you do in the last couple of days to exalt and praise your God? We'll give you a moment as they sort of like confer. They sort of have a little conclave in their families. Like, what do we do? How can we get around this one? What did you do? How did you exalt and praise your God, Emma? I won't pick on Jacob, who will always answer if I ask him a question, or Susie, he'll do the same. I'm going to pick on Grace because you're mine. And so, Emma Grace, honey, how did you exalt in God, in salvation, in Jesus coming for you?
Well, coming to church for one. For two, I gave a lot
more than I usually do to everyone. Besides coming to church, spoken like a true pastor's kid, right? I came to church, Dad. You know, yes, honey, you did come to church and we love you because of that. But you were generous and you shared with the resources that you had with other people, including making some very delectable goodness at the house, I must say. Emma will not have a problem when she needs to, you know, grease the wheels of progress to provide, and she'll do a good job with that. Thank you. How did you praise and exalt your God, young people? Carters or Susie, you can paper, rock, scissor it, but you're gonna get a chance in a minute. So, Susie, what are you thinking, my friend?
So, yeah,
going to church. Yep. That's a good thing. You're right.
All right.
The Roscoes have sort of, they as I said, when they first did that, it moved over. The role of Nina Finley is being played by the Roscoes, who moved around and confused me a little bit. But yeah, so you sat in the front there, Susie, and you sort of have been meditatively thinking about the Nativity, and it's sort of reminding you about yours at home. Yeah, that's excellent. Jacob? Going to church, yes. Everybody going to church, yes, yes, yes. Spend time with family. Both is going to blow away again. Spend time with family and enjoy being together. Absolutely. Sammy, help us out and finish us off. How did you exalt in the Lord?
Well, school choir can sometimes have a little bit of issue with religious hymns.
Sure.
But it's fun during Christmas time when you get to sing Christmas hymns.
That was your thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sing Christmas hymns, which I agree. It can be a little bit tricky with school choirs to do that. Absolutely right. I could pick on Alex and on John Mark, but they could beat me up probably. So I will just remind you, you can ask them after the service, how did they exalt Christ? And then you can tell me if they had an answer, and if not, we'll pick on them next week. But Christ is born for us. And so finding an opportunity and finding a way to be aware of that and to be acknowledging that is helpful. Even though Christmas is gone and we've sang Silent Night and we've had our candles, Christ is still with us. Let's pray together as we go to God's word. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for being with us today. And as you are with us, born for us today, we give you praise. Now as we continue to follow with your story and read from the gospel, we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds, so that this story, which is familiar again to us, will once again be transformational in our lives. To Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Today's text, if you wish to follow with me, is on page 889 and 890 of your pew Bible. It is the Gospel of Luke. As we continue with the incarnation story, reading verses chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Again, it's on 889 and 890 of your pew Bible. Listen and hear God's word for you today from the Gospel of Luke. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon said to them, blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, a sword will pierce through your own soul too, the thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be gathered together as your people, your church. As we stop now and consider this part of your incarnational story, speak to us. Calm our hearts in this time, that we may hear what the Holy Spirit is doing and further may take it with us from our worship time. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. If you have ever lived in a very large city, not like the suburbs here, but a very large city, or traveled there, you will likely have discovered that for urban dwellers, one of life's great pleasures is walking down busy sidewalks on mild evenings as swirls of life teem around them, patterns of infinite possibility and encounter. Those people seem to be buzzing with the energy that they feel. I don't necessarily agree with them on that. I would prefer not. But if you've been with those people, they get energy just being in that place. Every person who passes by them offers a fleeting opportunity for a life-changing encounter, a glance, a word, an accidental entanglement that might mean nothing or could become everything. And while most of those encounters never materialize, the promise of what could be makes the air thick there with hope and potentially maybe intrigue, like the stillness that we get when we're still before the Lord. There's a mystery. There's a revelation for people who walk those streets and are willing to be encountered by people going through the hustle and bustle. For those of us who have walked the streets of Elam, as an example, we have a very similar experience of what it's like to walk in a place teeming with life, shopkeepers, police officers, families waving at us, waiting, hoping to learn something from us, thanking us for being there. It's a place that's not quite like home, and yet it feels a lot like it could be home. And so it was, and so it is, for the Holy Family in our gospel lesson from Luke today. Moving through the crowded streets of Jerusalem with an infant in tow, headed to the temple to fulfill the ritual obligation of purification as set forth by the law. Dust, I'm imagining, and mud splattered on them. The smell of the market, stalls, incense, livestock around them. Oven smoke, voices laughing, some arguing, others negotiating the price of wheat or whatever good or service that they bump into. A city in all its glory, Jerusalem, and all its capacity to surprise them, sits before them. Then, as they enter into the temple, a man steps into their path. A stranger. And yes, there must have been something about this stranger that offered an air of trustworthiness or devotion. Because if you notice in the story, not a tiny detail here, Mary places her precious promised child into his arms. She just hands him over, a newborn child, while Joseph stands there holding those two turtle doves that he has to sacrifice in the temple. Everybody rushes around them, and Mary just passes the baby off. Here you go, to a person they've never met. The old man is rapturous at first, praising God, saying something to himself about light and promise to the Gentiles. Prophetic words. Mary can tell from his expression, though, that he knows, doesn't he? He knows this is not just a cute baby, as all babies are cute. This baby is more. This is something special. He knows who her son truly is. I want to spend some time today thinking about the choice that Mary and Joseph make in that moment there, on that day. They allow that stranger and another coming up to come before them with harsh and hard words for certain. And God uses their willingness, their trustingness, to further cement the message of the gospel for them and eventually for you and I so many generations later. As we begin to think about the encounter, the first thing that I recognize, and I've already hinted at it a little bit, is the unnerving nature of it. Or at least that's how it appears on the surface. We have some level of experience with these type of encounters as well. One that starts off apparently or seemingly on the wrong foot. It makes us anxious or nervous. One whose potential for good is mixed with the potential for something else. But the meeting becomes a blessing. And it becomes what this family will need to steel their faith, to hold them strong. The family is patient, and their patience is rewarded. Again, a stranger tells the family, a family who has just delivered a child in a dark, dank stable, a place of obscurity, a place they were not welcome into the light of the community. There's no place for them. They hear some harsh affirmations of what their hearts might suspect or believe is going to happen. There's pain in this encounter. It cannot be denied. As a good Israelite, Mary and Joseph likely remembered the promises of the Messiah from the prophets like Isaiah when they head to temple and synagogue. Those words would ring in their ears as they remember what's promised to happen to this Messiah, this God's son, this child that maybe is sitting on their hip in the moment. But mixed with that is gladness that cannot be forgotten. Mary and Joseph hear affirmations that support the angelic messages that they've believed in. And yet somewhere in the back of their minds, they're beginning to, if they didn't believe already, start to lock in on how this story is going to go. He will do great things. And yet, as verse 34 told them, your soul will be pierced as well. The first lesson for us to take away from this encounter is that even though it is a bit unnerving to listen to and to consider deeply, what's happening here is important. If we are willing to be open, to be vulnerable, to listen as Mary and Joseph did, to let someone else impact us, then God might just break through us with words that we might also need to hear. If we're willing to trust, what could have started as unnerving or painful can become that which cements our faith in what God is doing in our lives. Ancient though this encounter might be, the scene could still be familiar to us. Rushing as we have through the crowded marketplaces of the 21st century life before, and as some of us will do today, after Christmas. Whether we live in the city or not, we know what it is like to go about our business, focusing on our tasks that are given to us at hand, distracted by something perhaps as simple as a toothache or as stinging as a heartbreak. We know about the rumor of wars and the infighting that seems to accompany us everywhere we go, as we encounter people who may or may not believe as we do. We might feel like the Holy Family felt that day, just a bit of stress residing just on the periphery of our consciousness. It's there. Can we speak to it? And just when we start to get lost in the narrative, just when life seems too overwhelming to consider working through, a stranger bumps into us in our daily world and tells us something that was unnerving and yet something that is necessary, something we needed to hear, something from God that is given to help solidify our faith. It might be a kind word. It might be a sobering one. You don't know which it will be when the encounter begins, but it is a word that rings true. It is a message that jolts us back into an understanding that our lives are not simply lived as our own private dreams or paths to be enacted by our preferences. We are part of a larger, more wonderful story that contains all manner of joy and sorrow. And the world that we live in will draw us into that story, whether we liked it or not. A sword may just pierce our own souls too. And sometimes we must be reminded of that fact, lest our hearts become deadened to the full scope of God's vision and presence with us. This is the struggle and the message after Christmas has come. It is the message for us when we are trying to return to our normal life, trying to make sense after Christmas of how to be faithful in the world, a world that does feel different It looks polarizing. A world that when we return from it, we just don't feel right inside. What began in the gospel as an unnerving moment, or the potential of turning into that, became a chance to affirm God's presence. It became a chance to share how God is at work and how that work can and does change people. And so on a day that contains both joy and sorrow, in a temple setting that contained both blessing and burden, we learned this. In this city, as in all of life, there is much to be found for those willing to linger, to be vulnerable, to listen, and to trust. Much is accessible to us. Some of it is wondrous. Some of it may sound a bit disturbing. Some of what we may experience may feel totally out of control, and it may cause a whole new host of issues to bubble up in us. Yet God's there. God is here. God is speaking. God's Son was born for this very moment and will not abandon us. Yes, there are strangers around every corner. Yes, you met some in the last few days that offered words you weren't sure of, that changed our story in its entirety. And yes, there is a danger here and a distraction here. But above all of that, after Christmas, there is goodness. God can be found in all of it. And the fundamental lesson is that we must be present ourselves in the midst of that moment. In the midst of the cacophony of noise and distraction and streets and jostling people in the sea of searching souls, we must make our own way to our own temple and allow our fragile hearts to be pierced. Because somehow God is going to break through for us. Somehow we're going to be saved because of that moment. And so as Christmas 2020 is behind us, and as we gaze toward a new year, I wonder if you are willing to allow the encounter to happen. Will you linger just a bit longer before the stranger? Will you listen a little more intently? And by listening, will you find a pathway that takes you more into the faithfulness God calls you to? Mary and Joseph did. They listened. They abided. They lingered a little bit longer. And the child grew and did great things for all of us, because they were willing to be present. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we are thankful to be the church. We are thankful to affirm your presence with us following the miracle of your birth. As we go about our days now, Lord, following the celebration of your incarnation, help us to linger at the encounters. Stay there. Listen and to trust. And as we listen and as we trust, we have the opportunity to be faithful yet again. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand as you are able? As we confess in one voice the truth we have come to believe, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as our worship of Almighty God continues as the body of Christ, with the miracle of Christmas still fresh in our minds and the joy of being together and getting to sing our carols, where have you seen God at work? Sue.
We've been praying for a friend of mine, Frank, for some time. And I got a call from him last night. And the first thing he said was, it's very near, Sue. close to leaving Earth, started to tell me his faith, which I knew. And then he blessed me for the things that I have apparently helped him with. And that experience made me realize that I'm not the Christian I'd like to be. And I wish I had the faith that Frank had. But I love the man for showing me what I could be.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that story with us of your friend Frank and how he blessed your soul, and sort of as a mixture of blessing and conviction and encouragement all coming together. So it's a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing it with us. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing with us this morning as we come to the time as the body of Christ where we can spend time in prayer and intercession. Do you have joys and concerns to share today? Kathy. We will keep Tyler in our prayers as he's been in the hospital this past weekend through Christmas and the pain emotionally that it brings having a family separated around the holiday. We will pray for him with the elevated numbers that they found and the potential rejection for that liver, hoping they can get all that balanced back out where it needs to be for him. Thank you. Are there others this morning? Joys and concerns. Jennifer. Thanks for sharing with us, Jennifer. We will keep Terry and her family in our prayers. They have a number of medically fragile children. And for those who are living around the church here, you would have heard those sirens on Christmas Day as they potentially may have lost everything in a fire. I know it was on the Facebook page for the Cranberry Fire Department because that's how we found out that they were staying in a hotel because they were able to sort of pool their resources. There is a GoFundMe, and I guess if you want to support that or help out, you can talk to Jennifer after the service or message her, and she'll be able to put you in contact with them. But we will pray for them as they pick up the pieces after the fire. Are there others today? Yes, ma'am. You have a joy, Kathy?
Yes, our friends have joined us in worship today, Dee and Paul Aiello. They're neighbors and friends of ours.
It is a joy to have Dee and Paul with us. Good to see you. Not actually good to see you, Paul, in person, not just over the computers, because he and I have Zoomed in a few meetings before, so welcome. It's good to have you with us today. Are there other joys and concerns? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are thankful to be together this morning. We are thankful for the warmth of your presence in our hearts. A warmth that even all the snow that we've got this week cannot put out. We are thankful for the joy of Christmas. The opportunity to be together as friends, as family, as community. In a year that, as I've said so many times, has been unlike any other year we've had that we can remember. We are glad to be part of the body of Christ. We are thankful. And we are thankful to continue to be here in your house this morning, worshiping you. We give you praise today, Lord, for bringing Dee and Paul with us into worship. We pray that you continue to bless their work, their lives, their ministry, their very witness to you. Be with them today. We thank you for the story that Sue shared with us about her friend Frank. As his time with us draws to its end, potentially and likely, it sounds like. We thank you that his faith is strong, that his commitment and love of you is deep, and that even in an uncertain time, as death can be for all of us, he is able to find an opportunity to praise you, be with him, be with those caring for him. We think of Tyler today, as Kathy reminded us, in the hospital, separated from his family around the Christmas holiday, dealing with issues of medication and rejection of the liver and trying to get that balance right. And so we pray for him that he may indeed leave the hospital tomorrow, go home this week. We indeed pray that those issues that he's having medically, they would manage those for him, and that his body would continue to accept the liver transplant, the donation. Be with him, be with his family. We think of Terry and her family today, as Jennifer reminded us. She does great work in the community, loving and caring for so many children, both her own and those who are medically fragile that she fosters. We pray that as she picks up the pieces, her family and friends help out following this fire, that you would be with them. Give them stamina, steadfastness in the work that they do. Watch over them. And we pray that if it is possible that this house is salvageable, that they can go home. Provide them what they need, Lord. And provide for them what they don't even know that they need, but in you, you are aware of. For these things we give you thanks. For this opportunity to be together this morning, we give you thanks. Now as we continue to worship you, hear us as in one voice. We offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.